Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us on The Farkas Files. One more time, two more times before the end of this year. Tonight's show is pre-recorded because it's the holidays and our studio is on a college campus. So we can't do live shows, but I thought it would be fun if for you to listen to me being interviewed. So tonight's show is an interview I did on Darkness Radio in September. It's part one of two parts. The other part will be for next week's show. So I hope all of you have had a wonderful time with your whatever version of solstice holiday you commemorate. Merry everything and happy always. And that you've had a wonderful time with your family and your loved ones doing the things that we do. And that leads into what I want to talk about for tonight's metaphysical musing. It always occurred to me that the solstice, which in the Northern Hemisphere is the longest night and the shortest day, is a fascinating time because there are celebrations all over the world and have been for thousands of years about that time. And they all are the same story, theme, and variations. And that story is, here we are on the darkest night, acknowledging that it's cold and it's dark and it's frightening. And so we're going to throw a party and get together and sit around the fire in whatever way fire is done in that culture at that point in time and tell stories that talk about the light winning out over the darkness, that there is hope for the future. Because the real fear that underlies all of this stuff is that if tomorrow, well, it's actually for 3 days the sun hangs in the same place in the sky. It doesn't move in the sky. And if everything continues as it always has in past years in the cycle of nature, works the way it always has, and for ancient peoples that was the will of the gods, then in a few days the days will start getting longer, and that in effect is the beginning of spring and the promise of continued life. Because if that doesn't happen, what's going to happen is it's going to be darker and colder and nothing is going to grow and you're going to run out of firewood and everyone's going to die. It's really a profoundly frightening time. And so all over the world, people gather together, throw parties. The ceremonies and the stories always have to do with light winning over darkness. The temple was desecrated, and there was only enough oil to light the holy lamp for one day. And they lit it anyway. And it lasted for 8 days until another shipment was brought in, until they could get enough oil. The return of the sun, symbolized by the return of the S-U-N, symbolized in Christianity by the sun, the S-O-N, but there have been stories like this all over the world. So I encourage you to take a moment and just reflect on this incredible moment in time and how for thousands and thousands of years people have done something to acknowledge it. Now, most of us don't have a sense of how profoundly cold and dark it is, but I have a friend who lives in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and up there on the solstice, there's 4 hours of not very bright daylight. It's dark all the time. And in the dead of winter up there, it's 30 below zero. And that's true across Northern Europe, you know, the United Kingdom, across Scandinavian countries, Northern Europe, a good part of Russia. the days are very, very short, and it's really, really cold. And very, very different from summertime, from springtime, from summertime, when things are alive and growing and it's warm enough to go outside and all of that. So this is really what they call in pagan and Wiccan terminology, the turning of the wheel. This is another one of the turning points in the cycle of life. And what we're doing with all our ceremonies is saying, please, God, let us live one more year. Let us enjoy our company for one more year. Please care for us for one more year. Pretty amazing and pretty wonderful. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing, something for you to think about and something for you to add to your gratitude list for this incredible time of year and the upcoming New Year celebrations. Tonight's recording is an interview where I was interviewed on Darkness Radio by Dave Schrader, who's a wonderful interviewer because he asks good questions and then lets me talk. And I think you'll really enjoy it. And there is a second part. There are some references in the recording to telephone call-ins. And the people that called in, you will hear on the show, which will be next week, the day after New Year's. So we will have another recording of part two of this experience next week. I hope you enjoy it. I had a great time. I know we don't often have an opportunity for you to hear anything about my work and have me interviewed, so I just thought this would be a lot of fun. And you can tell me what you think and what's going on. So have a wonderful time. And here comes my interview with Dave Schrader.
Good evening and welcome to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Got some cool shows coming up for you this week. Tonight we're going to be talking about haunted houses, possessed properties, with our guest David Franklin Farkas. He's going to join us in a few moments. We got a lot of cool stuff, and a little bit later in tonight's show, I think we might even open up the phone lines in hour two. So if you have questions for our guest in hour one, David Franklin Farkas, you can get in touch with him and ask away. We're going to do our best to try to get all that information out and in the open for everybody that is intrigued by what this gentleman does. And I think once we get rolling, they're going to be absolutely astounded. It's been a while since we've had him on our show, and he's been on once or twice in the past. People love him, and it's just kind of one of those deals that, you know, he'd be so easy to just keep going to on a regular basis, but I want it to be a special deal when we bring him back and have some great stuff to share. So ladies and gentlemen, from househealing.com, he's a remote healing for real estate, people, and businesses. Joining us again, David Franklin Farkas. Good evening, David.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure to have you back. And I know it's been too long. It's been a couple of years since you've been here with us. So we'll have to make up for that lost time and have you back again here shortly, because I had an idea we can try after tonight's show. But let's re-educate our listeners. We've picked up a lot since we've changed stations and picked up an extra hour on the air. So there's people that still aren't familiar exactly with what you do. Why don't you, give us some insight, David? I mean, this business, you have househealing.com, and you do remote healing for real estate, for people, and for business. How exactly do you heal these locations? What are you doing?
Well, that's always an interesting question. And all of this work that is in the non-physical is strange to talk about. And there's a quantum physics explanation and that kind of stuff. But basically, everything is energy, and some of that energy is compressed into matter, and that's what we experience with our five senses. But in whatever manner, because there are a lot of ways to do it, that you shift your focus to the energy rather than the physical matter, there is no time and space, and you can look at anything. And there are lots and lots of ways to do it. I've got the way that I've developed to do it for the last 30-some years. And for whatever reasons, I developed the skill in particular of looking at houses and land. So I cheat, if you know, from the perspective of purists, because I use satellite photographs. I ask people for pictures of the house. But basically, if I put my hand on one of those pictures, and in some cases just looking at it, I can start downloading information as if I was at the property. So people are used to thinking of someone like Chip Coffee walking through a property and saying, I feel this, I feel that, I see this, I see that. And that's pretty much my experience working remotely.
So are you psychic? Are you a medium?
Well, I don't consider myself a medium because I don't consider my job having conversations with ghosts and bringing the information back to the living. Am I a psychic? Do I see things that other people don't see? Yes. But I use the skill differently. So if I was going to describe the work that I do, it's more shamanic work than the work of a medium. You know, my job is to go see what's wrong and see how I can fix it.
And how do you start training for this? I mean, what in your life led you down the path of, you know what? I'd like to start healing houses. I mean, that just seems like such an offbeat path.
My junior high school guidance counselor said, you know, you're not going to believe this, but 20 years from now, these things are going to happen. And that's not what happened. They thought I was going to be an electrical engineer, actually, which didn't happen either.
Well, you kind of are.
Yeah.
You're working with energy and you're engineering it into different positions and displacing it. So I'd say kind of you matched it. They just didn't realize what version you were going to be doing.
Yeah. See that? It was prophetic.
Yes.
You know, it's the whole process of a spiritual awakening is really having strange things happen and trying to get answers about it. So there were premonitions of what I was going to do when I was 9 years old. Somebody got hurt, and I knew I was supposed to know what to do. And I was really angry that I didn't know what to do because I was supposed to know. And that led me to study first aid and become an EMT and be on rescue squads and do a whole thing in the physical world about human bodies. And then I had some injuries that I was trying to alleviate and wound up practicing yoga. My teacher kept saying, you got to meditate. You know, if you're not meditating, you're not doing the practice. You really don't understand what this is about. And as soon as I started meditating, I started seeing things that were extremely strange. It was grounded enough to say, okay, I'm not crazy. And this is happening over and over again. There must be an explanation and there must be somebody that knows that I can find that knows what's going on. And it took a while, and I found a shaman who basically matter-of-factly said, oh, yeah, that happens. It happens to everybody. Here's what you're seeing. Do this, do that. And then I stumbled across a hands-on healing workshop that wasn't even something I had intended to go to, but it was happening in the hotel I was in. And I found it very easy to do the process, so I started taking some more classes and workshops about that. And, you know, it started building, and I was having different experiences, but my father was seriously ill on the West Coast. I was living on the East Coast. And I rushed to the West Coast, and a group of people were waiting for me in the hospital to, you know, have watched the conversation with my dad. And afterwards, I was taken out in the hallway by his boss, who literally said, do you know anything about psychic surgery? And I just laughed and said, oh, it's going to be one of those days, is it? No, but I guess I'm going to learn. And he introduced me to a healer who had been trained in the Philippines by psychic surgeons who had very good results with people that had various kinds of cancer. My dad had a brain tumor. And they were suggesting that he might be the one that could turn around my father's situation, which wasn't the outcome for my dad, but it became clear that I was supposed to study with this man. His name was Greg Shelkin. And along the way, while I was taking care of my dad, another person that I ran into said, oh, you work with crystals? You should meet this Cherokee medicine man called the Kitawa. He's called the Crystal Grandfather. And as soon as we met, it was an immediate connection, and he was very helpful to me while my dad was dying. But as I was leaving California, he was the last person I said goodbye to, and he said, you coming back? I said, I think so. I said, do you know when? I said, well, if this goes the way it usually does, you're just about to tell me, aren't you? He said, yeah, meet me, pick me up on this day. I want you to see something. So I went back to the East Coast and did as much cleaning up of my life on the East Coast as I could and bought a truck and drove cross country and dropped my stuff in my new little place to live and went to pick up Kitawa and went off to a reservation in Central California to be part of something I never expected to be part of. And that I did that with those two healers for 3 years. So
interesting. So
my
description
of my training is getting thrown into the deep end of the swimming pool without notice, randomly. And they kind of watch and go, that's good, you're not drowning.
Well, at the end of it,
there was no explanation, because if you talked about it, you were up in your head and you lost the experience. It was all about having the experience and knowing that you could then use what you learned during the experience.
Well, David, we got to take a quick break here. Househealing.com, remote healing for real estate, people, and business. David Franklin Farkas, our guest this evening. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio. 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight now in our expanded hours. That's right, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. You can tune in as we explore the strange and unusual world around us. Tonight, possessed properties, haunted houses. Is there something that can really be done? We watch all of the paranormal TV shows with investigators going on properties and waving tools around in the air and saying, shh, dude, what was that? Did you hear that? But does anything ever happen? Can we actually clear a property? Can people be released from the bonds of energy that has taken over their home? Well, our guest is here to share his thoughts and ideas and his belief systems with us. Househealing.com. He does remote healing for real estate, people, and business. And this is what impresses me most about you, David. I think we had you on the show about 5 years ago for the first time.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago. And then we had you on about 2 years after that. And here we're bringing you back again. But when I Google your name, I don't find fake, fraud, charlatan, scumbag, he didn't clear my place. I never find any negative. There's never anything that comes across my desk with bad reports on what you've done out there. And to me, that's a pretty astounding feat in itself. So
that's good to know, because I don't do that. So thank you for the feedback.
Sure. And, you know, that's part of what intrigues me by the work that you do. And, you know, as we went to commercial break, Stan, our producer for the evening, said, did this guy say he could do this from a remote location? He doesn't have to be on site to help clear this energy. How can you explain again for our listeners, when you're clearing a location and you're doing this, how exactly can you do it from a distance? It just seems like that would be so less effective than being on the spot and, you know, becoming Mr. Clean and taking care of the joint right there with energy.
Well, among the many experiences I had along the way while I was in California, my girlfriend at the time was working at a psych hospital, and they had a nursing strike. So suddenly this hospital that had been full one day was empty the next day. And being young and stupid, which is redundant, we gleefully said, can we get the keys and clear the hospital? So we had an active psych hospital that was empty that we had to ourselves to clean up. And a lot of it was fun. You know, it was a psychic exercise, meeting ghosts, telling them they're dead and sending them and crossing them over. But we got to a hallway, and it was like a movie. There was a hallway that had another set of locks on it, only had three rooms. And when you walked through that set of doors, you could feel the intensity of the darkness in that space. And we were like, we're going to do this? We're not going to do this? And we did two of the rooms, and we went into the room that felt the worst, and I couldn't get a real clear image of the entity that was in the room, but I could see where he was. And I don't know what I was thinking. What was I going to do, psychic karate? But I walked right up to him and got knocked against the wall and choked.
Was he surprised that you approached him? Was he surprised that you could see him?
I wasn't as good at some of this stuff as I am now, so I don't think I was checking to see what his emotional state was.
Well, no, but when you approach something like this, I would guess if these things are around and most people don't see it or witness it,
right?
And then all of a sudden, here comes David Farkas, and he throws back his shoulders.
Another story, which is exactly that kind of thing. But,
right.
So, you know, here I am being choked up against a wall, thinking to myself, oh, I've heard about this stuff, but I thought it was nonsense, and what do I do now? Unfortunately, the gal I was with was very good at what she did as well and was able to get to shift the energy in the room so that I could get him out. But after that, I was like, why would I ever work on site if I don't have to? You know, if I'm there, okay, it's interesting. But if I don't have to put myself in the predicament of being directly exposed to the beings that I'm trying to clear, why would I do that?
All right, well, let me ask you this then. With that in mind, mm-hmm. I understand being in close proximity. If I say something to Stan and piss him off, he can take a swing at me. Okay? And I know that if I'm online and I'm under the name Drunk Texter 202 and I say, oh, that Stan, what a moron, he can get pissed, but he can't touch me.
Right.
But you're working in an energetic field. And if you're going and shooting your energy and doing what you can, it's almost, to me, it sounds like a lightning strike. And it starts with you, ends with the house, and kind of comes back. Can't they ride that energy back to you? Can't they still muck with you when you're doing that?
There is no space and time. So they can certainly come get me. And typically ghosts won't, but demons have tried it. The difference is I'm sitting here in my space, which is well protected, that I prepare before I work, and it doesn't go well for them if they come after me. But if I'm out in, you know, the basement of some creepy place, I can be doing that on the fly. You know, I can do that kind of clearing and protection on the fly, but it's a whole lot more work. So I almost never get attacked in the space that I work in at home. It's happened. It hasn't gone well for the entities, but what, it's happened.
In 1 year, how often in 1 year's time does it bounce back to you?
How often do they come after me?
Yeah.
It keeps changing as the earth changes, keep changing. At this point, the only time ghosts show up is if they figure out that I can help them. So they come and say, I've heard that you can help us. There's a group of us that has figured out we're dead and we want to cross over. The big issue is more dark entities who don't want me to be doing what I'm doing. So I start doing it and they're like, oh, there he is. You know, suddenly they can see me. So they'll try to, you know, they're basically parasites. So they'll try to do their thing. And one of the things about doing this work is it is dangerous. And there are days I can sit down and just go through a stack of work. Not a big deal. I do what I do. And then in a random way, you can't really predict which properties are or which people are going to be very draining. But there'll be some piece of work that I need to do that just saps all my energy, and sometimes I can't work for 3 days. And sometimes I'm really feeling off, and I check myself, and I don't quite get it, and I'll call friends that also do remote healing and say, would you check me and see if I need to be cleaned up because there's something going on and I'm not seeing it? And they'll typically say, oh, yeah, you missed one.
Now, once you've made a connection, David, when, you know, we've had Sarah Gebicki on our show, who's local here with TrueSanctuary.com, and she talks about clearing humans and clearing the energetic tethers that we seem to put on one another when we have relationships and friendships and things, and how that can work very much like a vampiric connection to people. And when you go in there and you're cleaning these houses, you know, when a maid walks out of that house, sometimes they've got the dirt underneath their fingernails still from doing that. Do you walk away and you've got to, you have to get clean because you've taken some of this crap with you, or are you kind of Teflon and it hits you and just kind of slides off?
Well, I'm not doing the work that way.
Okay.
It's not like I'm in there with a sponge and scrubbing.
Right, but you're still connecting with the energy, and you would just think there's got to be some residual
debris. You know, when it's working as I want it to work, the ghosts that I find, and they can be ghosts from different timelines that are not familiar with the other ghosts from the other timelines that are there. It can go back thousands of years. All of them cross over. The energy of the drama and traumas of the history of the place have been reset. I do a process that's a lot like reformatting a hard drive that gets rid of the emotional stuff. The demons have been banished from space-time. They no longer exist here. And I try to have non-physical allies do that as much as possible, so I'm not, as you say, getting my hands dirty and putting myself in danger, although that sometimes is necessary. So the way that I work when there isn't something really bizarre going on, which is kind of a funny thing to say because this is all bizarre, is to do it in such a way that all the things that I find go away. And then the tidying up is really resetting things to what would be normal.
Okay.
So, you know, there's distortions that have been created by the history of the place, and my job is to reset it all to normal geometry, in effect.
All right. Our guest, David Franklin Farkas. You can find more information on him. Househealing.com is the website where you can reach out and get information, get some help, and make a connection and an assessment. You also have a radio show. Why don't you promote that coming up this Thursday? And we're going to take another break. When can people tune in and find you?
I'm on EmpowerRadio.com. The show is The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. And it's at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. You can go to www.thefarkasfiles.com, and all the details are there, and the archive of all the past shows.
Great. Check it out, thefarkasfiles.com. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we've got more with our guest, and we'll open up phone lines in hour two, 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. If you have a question for our guest, feel free to be a part of it in the next hour. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Joining me this evening, David Franklin Farkas. And if you're having a problem with your home, your business, or your people, then this is the guy you want to call. Househealing.com, remote healing for real estate people and businesses. David, you actually, I mean, this is a career that realtors that have homes that are problem homes, they reach out to you. You grid it, map it, clear it, and they sell these homes, don't they?
Yes, they do. And in real estate, properties like this are called stigmatized property.
Right.
So, you know, there are all kinds of legalities about what they can say about it and what they can't say about it. And sometimes it's known that it's haunted or there were deaths there or whatever, but what I'm fascinated with is realtors know that there are properties that act like stigmatized properties, even though the stigma is not known. There's no historic event that they can point to. But the property starts dropping in price and stays on the market longer, or the deals will show up, but they fall through. All of those are telltale signs that there's something going on that is not obvious. And I do talks to realtor groups. It's actually funny. When I do the talks, I have this whole set program that I like to talk about, kind of leading up to the ghosts. And typically they basically say, I have a ghost story I want to tell you. I want to know what you think of this. And they start telling their ghost stories because every realtor's got them. You can't be walking around in old houses and not run into paranormal phenomena. So, stigmatized property, but any property where, for no reason that makes any sense, you know, you've staged it, you've done all the stuff that you're supposed to do, the property is great, it's priced right, timed well, all of that stuff, and nothing's happening, then there's something else going on.
That, when you're doing this, and people are calling out to you, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I know my listeners are going to want to know this side of the question here, David. Does it open you up for legal issues? You say that, you know, you take a fee to do a clearing and to help people. What happens if David Farkas does his deal and at the end of the day, my house still doesn't sell and my lights still keep going on and off by themselves and there's still the rotting smell of sulfur in my basement chasing me around? What happens? Are you opened up to some kind of legalities for that kind of deal?
No more than any other consultant or service person. You know, I have a...
Well, but there's a big difference. If I hire you to come in and clean my carpet and you leave and there's a stain, I can show the judge, Your Honor, there's a stain.
Right.
But right. When David Farkas cleans a ghost or a demon out of my house, I can't go, oh, yeah, look at what's here in the corner, Your Honor. I mean, there's no, you know, the courts have, there's no way to be admissible in court systems, but you would think that either side could be open to interpretation of possible fraud or, you know, just kind of chicanery. And again, I'm not calling you out on it. I just know that my listeners will wonder, how does that work and affect you? And that's why I said I've been most impressed that I don't see complaints. I don't read anything negative about you.
Well, I ask my clients to give me feedback, especially immediately after the clearing. I don't tell people when I'm going to work because I don't want them to sit there anticipating and creating a placebo effect and, you know, just with their own emotions, creating an experience. But I send an email immediately after I do the work, and I say, tell me how things change. And some things will feel different immediately, and some things will unfold over the course of a few weeks. And pretty typically, people feel that something has changed. And pretty typically, if we're talking about selling a house, because a lot of what I do is, you know, there's a problem, either a paranormal problem with the house or there's something going on with the family or something else. I mean, there are definitely situations where I clear the house and most of the family members attempting to shift the family dynamic, you know, that everybody has been trying to figure out a way to deal with for a long time. But typically, I'll go back, if the situation is not resolving itself, I'll continue looking at it for several weeks. And if the only time that I've ever had somebody ask for money back is when communication breaks down, where for whatever reason the communication just dies. And the way I look at it is you pay me for two things. You pay me for my time and focus, and you pay me for results. So my warranty is I give back half the fee if people are not satisfied. And I think in the last, it's probably been 9 years that I've been doing this as a full-time business, and I might have done that three times.
And that's impressive just in itself that you work that way. Do you need to go in and power scrub it more than once? Do you make the alignment and kind of like a chiropractor? You go in, well, your back's so out of whack, they have to crack it and manipulate you, put you into it, and then they want you back for the next couple of days so that they can retrain those muscles. Is that the way energy works? When you clear it, is there still a buckle in that system? Can it come back in and until you shore it up or put in the psychic stint, if you will, to keep it from happening?
I love your images because they're so not the way of working. You know, the issue is more that if there's a lot going on and you clean it all up, something that was not obvious, that was hidden under all the other chaos that was going on, may suddenly make itself known. Or into the neutral space will come something that's just opportunistic and goes, oh, look at this. I figured out a way to get in and there's nobody here. So are there situations in which either something changes or something suddenly shows up that I couldn't see when I was doing the initial work? Yeah. And I know that's true. And everything's dynamic anyway. So as the planet is changing more and more quickly, 5 years ago, I was able to pretty much expect that if I did a clearing, it was good and solid and nothing weird was going to show up for a year, maybe more. depending on the location, because some locations are really active. And with the Earth changes, all bets are off. There's no way to predict anything. There could be a shift in alignment or where the North Pole is that day or any number of other things, and all of a sudden everything starts going wacky. So if I've just worked on a property, something can change. And the other thing is that the people are the most powerful aspect of what's attracted into the space. So if I clear the house and I'm not clearing the people who are living in the house, there's still the possibility that they'll draw something in. And that's just part of the way it works. So, you know, if sure. it happens, it happens.
David Farkas is our guest this evening, househealing.com, remote healing for real estate, people, and business. And I want to talk to you a little bit about curses when we come back. What your feeling is on that, doing what you do and facing what you face. Do you believe that curses are real? And if they are, can you clear them as well? Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. During an online question and answer segment of the 700 Club, a viewer asked televangelist Pat Robertson advice on what to do with their haunted house. Always the consummate pro, Robertson told the viewer that he doesn't believe in ghosts, and he said to either have it exorcised or just burn down the house. That just seems like a bit of a waste, David Farkas. What do you think? Do you think Pat maybe should just stick to what he knows and not tell people to burn down their haunted houses?
Well, burning down the house wouldn't solve the problem anyway. It just would mean they weren't living in the location with the problem. Yeah, that doesn't solve the problem. And that's an issue with, you know, old abandoned psych hospitals and all kinds of other places where they take them down and then they repurpose them. They either build, you know, apartment buildings on it or condos or repurpose the existing buildings and act as if because they've changed the configuration or taken them down and built something else, the problem goes away. And that's not how it works.
So the problem is not in the wood and in the foundation in the building that's there. It's in the space itself. It's like
right.
it's like
right.
if you, you know, if you're looking
there is trauma that gets into the building materials.
Okay,
but you know, which is it's not the materials themselves. It's the energy matrix. But just taking the buildings down is not going to get rid of, you know, thousands of tortured souls that died there, confused and freaked out. So. You know, that's not going to happen.
Because yeah. they're not occupying the same physical space. They're just in an energetic place, right?
Well, they may still be attached to the physical space because that's what they know. You know, one of the issues that really gets talked about, but as I started doing more and more depossession and, you know, issues of people being possessed, I started reading the literature from all over the world, which is a geeky thing to do when you're doing psychic work, but I'm a geeky guy. And one of the consistent things from all of the clinicians and all of the psychics is that 80 to 90% of ghosts have no idea that they're dead. They're having some kind of self-contained experience, which they don't fully understand. There is no longer linear time, so they're in some kind of moment of now, probably of an event that they either enjoyed or hated, but, you know, they're having something happen over and over again, which to me is more what residual haunting is about rather than there being nobody there. There's somebody there doing the same thing over and over again, but they have no idea that you're there. So there can be thousands or tens of thousands of ghosts at a location, some of them from a particular event like a battle or, you know, people.
Well, like if you take Waverly Hills Sanitarium, right? At one point it was a tuberculosis clinic and they had tens of thousands of people die. Then it turned to an old folks community and then they had hundreds of people die. And then it turned into a retirement village and then they had another couple. So there's different layers to the timelines and they all died right. for different purposes in different ways.
Right. I've seen that also in buildings like we have a lot of mill buildings in mm-hmm. Massachusetts from when factories were run by water power. And they were very dangerous places, both in terms of politics and, you know, people getting murdered, having fights with each other and things. But also the equipment was very dangerous. So they're all incredibly haunted, but typically there are groups of people from different timelines where the ghosts are interacting with the people from their era, but they have no idea that they just walked through somebody from 100 years in one direction or another.
So these
spirits
don't...
And every once in a while I've been able to see that, and it's incredibly amusing. It's bizarre.
So these spirits don't recognize or see each other in their own little plane? They're just like pages in a book laying on top of each other then?
Yeah, they're having some kind of self-contained experience, which is not particularly connected to our experience of space-time.
Well, then let me ask you this, David. If they don't know they're dead, and they're there, and we're here, and we're hearing them, and they're there, and they're hearing the ghosts of Gettysburg, and Gettysburg is there hearing the ghosts of the Native Americans that were slaughtered in that spot beforehand, are we all haunting each other?
Only if... Well, it depends what you mean by haunting. You know, if haunting is...
Well, we all have these experiences with something fleeting out of the corner of our eye, the sounds, a moan, a cry, a voice, and things that are there, energy that's there, but we can't see it.
It's having an experience of these souls that no longer have a physical body but haven't crossed over. Now, can that bleed through from different timelines between the ghosts? I would think yes, but I don't have any way of confirming it.
Because how do we know we're not dead and that this is just going on in my consciousness and I'm taking up this level? And
if you've never seen it, go find the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Right, yeah, I've seen that numerous times.
Which really addresses the who's doing what to whom,
right?
Who's alive, what timeline is it. There are several really good movies that deal with that, and The Others is great because you don't figure it out until the end of the movie.
And then so it turns out that Bruce Willis is dead.
That's the issue. You know, right. What is the experience of the ghosts? And my feeling always is if you want to solve the problem for the living, what you have to do is solve the problem for the ghost. Because the ghosts are doing things that make perfect sense to the ghost, and they probably don't even know that the living people are there or they're a nuisance. And they're trying to figure out why they're there, and, you know, it's haunting them. So if you solve the problem for the ghost, if you help the ghost understand their circumstances and cross over, the whole situation is fixed. They're no longer lost in space-time. The people who are living in this space-time don't have the issue of these lost souls trying to figure out what's going on. But you asked me, you started asking me about the psych hospital, and there is a story very much like what you were asking about. In the middle of apprenticing with two shamans and living in a camper, you know, how much of a walkabout could I create for myself? I also worked nights in a psych hospital for a year and a half, and I could see who the voices were for these people that were constantly talking to their, you know, in air quotes, voices. They were mostly talking to ghosts, and the ones that were seriously psychotic were being harassed by demons. I could see the whole thing playing out. Of course, I couldn't tell anyone because there was only one padded room, and it was for the patients. But there was one night where one gal who never was up in the middle of the night was up, and she was angry, and I asked her what was going on. She told me the story of what she saw in her room that was freaking her out, and she was incredibly psychic. But, you know, she was a crazy old lady as far as everyone else was thinking. So I went in the room. Fortunately, she had a single room. I closed the door, and I just saw this guy as a little ghost. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, "Your staff, why can you see me? What does that mean?" And I said, "It means you have to leave." And he's like, "I'm not going to leave. You can't make me." I said, "Well, yeah, actually I can." And we go back and forth for a while. And I realized how confused he was. I said, "You know, aren't you tired of just harassing little old ladies in psych hospitals? How long have you been doing this?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So I asked him what year it was. And he said, 1873. I was like, "Oh, do you know you're dead?" And he stopped, looked confused, and said, "Oh, that explains a whole lot."
Wow. And that, I mean, you make that connection. Does it kind of feel, you know, are y'all Jennifer Love Hewitt at the end of the episode and feel all glowy and happy that you've just helped that spirit cross over?
You know, he still was in my face, and I still had to threaten him and get angels to come in and carry him off, basically, because my job was to get the patient to sleep. You know, I wasn't feeling all soft and warm in that particular situation about this guy who was just a problem on my shift. And, of course, I couldn't write nursing notes that had anything to do with that, you know, like talk to patient, got her to go to bed. But, yeah, there are definitely times where it feels very warm and fuzzy, but a lot of the work that I do, because I do places where there are hundreds or thousands of ghosts, is much more systematic. You know, I have a way of basically giving them a download. Okay, you died a long time ago. This is what's going on. These angels are here to take you to the light, you know, basically get them to realize what's going on and cooperate, and it happens fairly quickly without having a counseling conversation. So it's pretty unusual for me to be talking directly to one ghost and having a personal conversation with them.
We've got we're coming up to the top of the hour. We didn't get to curses. We will do that when we come back after the top of the hour break. I want to talk about curses. That's something that's been on the minds of some of my listeners for the last few weeks since we did a few shows on that. And I'm curious.
I have a simple explanation for that that may really make them understand it more easily.
Excellent. Yeah. So we'll talk about that when we return. We'll talk more about ghosts and healing people, businesses, homes, locations. Can you do it? And real quickly, literally in 30 seconds, can you clear a location if Stan has ghosts in his house and he doesn't want them to leave? He wants them there. Do you have the authority that you can still clean that place out?
Not typically. There are circumstances where that, you know, we could talk about circumstances where I get permission and not from the living. But typically, no.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out why you can't clear those locations. We're going to find out about curses. This is Darkness Radio.
Well, I hope we've piqued your interest for next week's show, which will be part two of this interview that I did on Darkness Radio with Dave Schrader. I hope you'll be with us the day after New Year's 2014. I want you to know that wherever you are on the planet and whatever time of day, however listening to the Farkas Files fits into your schedule, I truly appreciate the listeners all over the world, and it's really an honor to be able to do this show and give you a little bit of information, let you be introduced to some people that you wouldn't meet otherwise and some ideas you wouldn't hear otherwise. So it's a blessing in my life. I hope it's a blessing in your life. As always, you can find the archive to the Farkas Files, and you can listen to any show that we've ever recorded, cleverly hiding at www.thefarkasfiles.com. You can also find us on iTunes podcasts and several other places. If all of this has made you curious about my work, which I hope it has, you can find all the details at househealing.com. Cleverly hiding on the contact tab is every conceivable technology that you can use to get in touch with me, including a link to my online scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on in your life with a person, a place, a situation, whatever it happens to be, to see how my work might be helpful to you. So please get in touch. And just a heads up, I will be rewriting a substantial portion of the website and also raising my prices for the first time in years and years and years. So this is a very good time. If you've always been thinking that you wanted to use my services or check things out, this is a very good time to do that before the prices go up in January. And so that's it for this evening. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, one and all, for being here. And once again for the Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Look forward to seeing you next week.